Hola and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor, and this week on the show, we're continuing to preview World Cup 2010. The World Cup is comprised of 32 teams divided into 8 groups of 4. Last week, we used our highly scientific set of criteria to determine that France and South Africa would progress out of Group A. So this week, we're moving on to Group B, which consists of Argentina, South Korea, Greece, and Nigeria. But before we get to that, I suppose I should introduce the other members of this week's show. So I'm going to do that in order of shabby appearance. Since I'm wearing sweatpants, I'm going to say that I'm Taylor, your moderator. And to my left, we have Albert. Say hello, Al.
Hello.
And what national team are you representing?
South Korea this week.
Fair enough. All right, so we move on to Josh, equally shabby in appearance. Josh, how you doing?
Way better dressed, actually. But I have Argentina this week and
all
doing
right.
Well.
Cool. And we move on to Daryl. Daryl, who you got?
Hello. I'm representing Greece.
So we've got all of our national teams. We've got all the people that are going to be speaking. So I suppose we should move on to the first set of criteria, and that's best nickname. Daryl, you want to start us off?
I definitely do.
All right.
The nickname for the Greece team is the Pirate Ship.
And is there any explanation behind that?
Yeah, it's actually a very recent nickname. It came from Euro 2004, a tournament they won. And it was the opening game, Portugal versus Greece. So there was an opening ceremony with a Portuguese ship involved, because Portugal's a seafaring country.
Uh-huh.
And one of the Greek commentators says, since the Portuguese team appear in such a ship, it's time for us to become pirates and steal the victory, which is exactly what they did. Since then, they've been known as the Pirate Ship.
All right, that's pretty good. Josh, can you beat that?
I don't believe so. And if you listen last week, it's very similar to a lot of the other ones. La Albi Celeste is their nickname. It's the white and sky blue. So,
and where does that come from?
Their jerseys.
Nice. Way to go, Argentina. All right, so we move on to Korea, or South Korea, that is. Albert, what's the nickname there?
Their nickname is the Taeguk Warriors, and I really don't know the origin of that. I'm assuming it has to do with some ancient South Korean warriors, but I could be wrong. And also, sometimes they're known as the Red Devils. So, nicknames.
I like that one.
You would.
The fans are known as the Red Devils.
Ah,
I know this because I claimed that the team was nicknamed the Red Devils and someone called me out on it.
Okay.
So welcome to my world.
All right, well, for Nigeria, we all know that there's lots of eagles out there. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles and, like, I think, what, Tunisia's the Carthage Eagles. But Nigeria are the Super Eagles. Not content to just be normal eagles, they have Super on there. And so I think that that makes them a candidate for best nickname, I gotta be honest.
What makes them Super?
Just their general demeanor.
Okay.
One of them can fly. That is also, I don't know, that's underreported.
Well, one of the Eagles can fly.
Well, no, one of the Nigerian players.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. One of the Nigerian players is actually capable of flight. But yeah, so I suppose we should throw this one to vote then, because I feel like there's a couple candidates out there. So, Albert, why don't you get the voting started?
I'm going to have to go with Greece and the Pirate Ship. I love it.
Fair enough. Josh?
Pirate Ship.
Ooh, Daryl?
Yar.
Well, the sound effect means that Greece win that one regardless of my vote. So we'll move on to the best coach. Albert, who you got there?
I'm going to apologize right now for how I pronounce many of the South Korean names. So here I go. Mm-hmm. It's Hugh Young-moo, and he is kind of a departure from what's happened with the South Korean national team. They had two Dutch coaches, Gus Hiddink and Dick Advocaat.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, Moo, played in the 1986 World Cup, and he was involved as an assistant on the 1990 and 1994 teams. So it was a good experience there.
Okay, not bad. I'm going to skip Josh because that's way too hilarious to even hit on yet. So Daryl, who do you have?
The Greek coach is not Greek. It's a German guy known as Otto Rehhagel.
How very Wire of him. Season 2 Wire reference? No? Anybody?
Oh, that's a spoiler.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my bad. Don't worry about that out there.
So yeah, Otto Rehhagel has been the Greece coach since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
That's 9 years in charge of the same national team.
It's not bad.
Which is very, very impressive. Obviously, his big achievement is winning Euro 2004. You're going to hear me mention that a lot today.
Yeah.
And I think for winning that tournament, Rehhagel is basically unsackable.
Okay. Well, so that's not bad for Greece. Now, one man who I think is at one point was very much sackable is the head coach of Argentina. That'd be Diego Maradona, much discussed Diego Maradona. Josh, what you got there?
He is their greatest legend, their greatest player of all time. And I'll be honest, when he was first hired, my thought was, this has got to be a puppet manager. This has got to be a puppet manager. He knows nothing. Like, why is he the choice?
Yeah.
And then they struggled some, but it seems to think people think maybe he righted the ship in the last game against Germany. So,
Yeah. He did also do a magnificent
belly
slide.
Didn't he have a touchline ban for that game against Germany, though? Wasn't he in the stands?
Yes, but, you know, he picked the team.
I think that actually sums up what happened there.
Yeah, and he was in the stands for saying things that we can't repeat on radio at the press conference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really weird thing with Diego Maradona. It seems like he likes to, even when people aren't being critical of him, he feels like they are and feels the need to lash out and... Fairly ridiculous ways.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking they're going to do well at this World Cup because of that mentality.
I think
Diego Maradona is going to develop that sort of siege mentality that everyone's against Argentina. Well, it's paranoid and crazy, but I think maybe there's a chance the players buy into it and it will create this really good team spirit.
That nobody believes in us. Okay.
All right, so now we'll move on to Nigeria. Nigeria have a new coach. His name is Lars Lagerbach. There's an umlaut in there, so I could be wrong. But he's apparently nicknamed Lassie. So that's got to count for something, right?
Of course.
No? All right. No. Well,
a child stuck down a well.
Yes. Which, no, that doesn't actually usually happen at the World Cup.
And if so, you have a guy that can fly, so.
There you go. Valid points all around. So Lagerbach has managed some Swedish club teams. Then he's managed the Swedish national team. And that's about it. And now he manages Nigeria. He resigned after Sweden didn't qualify for World Cup 2010 and is now the manager in Nigeria. And to quote the great Bill Simmons, anytime you can hire a manager who's just been fired or just resigned under pressure from being fired by his national team, I think you got to do it. You got to do it there. So maybe not the strongest candidate for best manager.
Well, you can say that he's determined to get to the World Cup, though.
Well, he's at the World Cup. It just kind of depends on what's going to happen.
He fails with one team and he just picks another team.
Yeah, that's an admirable quality. All right, well, Josh, why don't you start off the voting then? Who you got as best coach?
I'm thinking the guy that's actually won a big tournament here.
Yeah, so
Greece.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sorry, what was his name again, Daryl?
It's Otto Rehhagel.
Okay, so Josh, you've got Coach Otto.
Yes, sir.
And Albert, what about you?
I'm going to have to agree with Josh, Coach Otto all the way.
Daryl?
Oh, come on the pirate ship. I'll go Otto Rehhagel as well.
All right, Greece out to a 2-0 lead, and we move on to their qualification history. Josh, how did Argentina get to this summer's World Cup?
Well, Argentina's qualification was pretty interesting considering they're expected to qualify easily. Mm-hmm. They had a very rough go. And I think that was actually highlighted by a game in Bolivia that they showed up 2 hours beforehand to.
Good plan.
Yeah, good plan. Not to mention the fact that it's 9,000 feet above sea level, so they got thrashed 6-1 by a lesser side.
Yeah.
And then with all that coming into play, they end up having to win on their last day of qualifying against Uruguay to qualify in the fourth seed, not even the first or second.
Yeah, remember when you tried to speculate that Diego Maradona was a good coach? Yeah, wrong. Yeah. Wrong you are.
Details. Details, my friends.
All right, Al, how did Korea get to this World Cup?
Well, they breezed through the preliminary rounds of qualifying in Asia, and they ended up breezing through the final round where they won Group B ahead of surprise qualifiers North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty tough group. Saudi Arabia and Iran in particular, strong sides in Asia.
Yep. Yeah, it's teams you expect to be at the World Cup.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And so they won with 16 points. They had 12 goals scored, 4 goals against, and they were very strong at home, highlighted by, I think, 3 shutouts at home.
Not nice. Bad. All right, well, Nigeria, we're in a group with Tunisia, Mozambique, and Kenya, a group that a lot of people expected them to win easily. Instead, they only won by 1 point on the last day when Tunisia actually lost to Mozambique, which is a shocking result, and Nigeria beat Kenya 3-2 in the last minute. Oof. So it was pretty close for Nigeria, but they're there, so I guess that's what counts. So then we'll move on to Greece. Daryl, how did Greece get there?
Well, Greece are one of those teams that aren't really expected to qualify. Mm-hmm. But they finished second in their European qualifying group, just 1 point behind Switzerland. And they did it playing, as I mentioned, slightly more attacking football than usual. Mm-hmm. Finishing second gets you in a playoff for a World Cup spot. So they had to play off against Ukraine. They drew 0-0 at home to Ukraine. So it was looking a bit dodgy. Then they went away to Donetsk and won 1-0 in Donetsk, which is an impressive result.
Yeah, not bad.
It is nice.
All right, well, so with all that said, I guess we should put this one to a vote. Daryl? Who's most impressive for you?
It's got to be Korea.
Yeah.
South Korea.
Josh?
Yeah, I think it's Korea.
I believe it's the Koreans.
And Korea all are right. On the board. Ladies and gentlemen, wow.
Are those my first points?
They are.
With the
so
team I'm representing? Yes. I like it.
Let's see if he can redeem himself. Daryl, how good is Greece's attack? Because that's our next category.
Surprisingly good. The main thing you can say is that their striker, Theofanis Gekas, was the top scorer in European World Cup qualifying with 10 goals. Mm-hmm. 10 goals in 11 games. So the way Greece's attack used to work is that basically they defended, then they hoped to score from a set piece. It was just awful to watch. But the new plan seems to be to get the ball forward to these sort of big strikers they've got. Mm-hmm. They've got, apologies for pronunciation here, they've got Georgios Samaras, who's who's like 6'4", and they've got Angelos Karystias, who's like 6'3". These are big, big guys.
That was well done.
Thank you.
I like it.
But then you got Gekas, who is not a big guy. Mm-hmm. He's not strong. He's not fast. But he's one of those guys who's got sort of natural goal-scoring instinct. He knows where the goal is. He's a poacher. And then we've got those big attackers, but there's one guy who's pulling the strings, which is Georgios Karagounis, who's the captain, the number 10, and the playmaker. So he's going to be the one that makes it happen.
All right. So that's Greece. What about Korea, Albert?
Well, I think easily the most famous Korean player is Manchester United's Park Ji-sung. And not only is their captain and their talisman, but he led them with 5 goals and throughout all of World Cup qualifying. So he really is the straw that stirs the drink for them. He epitomizes what South Korea wants to be going forward. But other people, they have a young striker, Park Chu-young, who plays for Monaco in France and has scored, I believe, 8 goals already this season. He's very fast. He runs 100 meters in under 11 seconds, so he has a lot of pace, and he scored 4 goals in qualifying. And then they have Lee Chung-young, a Bolton right winger, who's very, very young, and he has 4 goals this season for Bolton, and he's only 22. And interestingly enough, he was named by the London Times as one of the top 50 rising stars in football in the UK. So they have some decent options going forward, which kind of surprised me, once I researched the team. So I think they're pretty solid going forward.
All right. Well, another team that are probably going to be pretty solid is Argentina. Josh, why don't you tell us about them?
Yeah, when I start with Argentina, some of the names I drop are just going to kind of blow you out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Messi at first, the World Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
It's a big one.
The way, if you haven't seen him play, just the way he dribbles into space, and I don't know, he always seems to find space with the ball, which is what impresses me the most. Like, some people dribble around players, he seems to find space when he dribbles. And then there's Carlos Tevez, who was former Man U player, plays for Man City now, so Taylor's kind of mixed emotionally.
Yeah, but a little bit.
He's the type of forward that, as a former defender, he plays with tenacity you never want to defend. He'll never stop, he never lets you get off the ball, and he's quite talented too. It's not just he plays hard.
Yeah.
And there's Sergio Aguero for Atletico Madrid, who's another one of those just creative little guys that just can't ever seem to get a hold of, can't even pull their jersey to pull down sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you there because those three names are good enough for me to believe you.
What about Gonzalo Higuain?
Yeah,
Higuain. Oh, yeah, there's that
too. He might be the leading goal scorer in Spain for Real Madrid, so you can't forget about him. Sorry to
That's fine. In, I was but. Getting there. But
one thing I'd say about Leo Messi is that the form he's in for Barcelona, like he scored a hat-trick last week, which was just incredible. But it's been a long, long time since he's done that for Argentina. Mm.
That is the only criticism that he doesn't quite perform for Argentina. But
yeah.
So, Taylor, what about Nigeria's offense?
It's actually, I was pretty surprised as to how potent it really is. I watched some highlights from the African Cup of Nations, and you know, you forget they've got like 97-year-old Kanu, who plays in England for Portsmouth. They've got Peter Odemwingie, maybe a lesser-known name. He plays for Lokomotiv in Russia. They've got Obafemi Martins, a bigger name in Germany. They've got Yakubu, a big one from Everton. And then I guess the one that impressed the most is, I'm going to butcher it, so I apologize, but it's Chinedu Obasi, I believe, who's a big goal scorer for them. But from the videos I watched, it looks like they kind of have a problem scoring. Like, they'll get one every now and then, but it's, I think they have a problem putting it together, mainly because that's falling to the feet of John Obi Mikel, who plays in Chelsea. And he's usually a defensive midfielder, but for this World Cup, they're looking for him to sort of be the playmaker, which is a role he isn't really used to, and so it could end up being...
They have no other options.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think he's looked at as like the guy who can really control it. He's a big presence. He's really young, but he's still a big guy. And so I think they're just looking for him to be the dominant personality for that squad. Whether or not he can do it remains to be seen, but at least they've got options. So with that, I suppose we should move on to the voting. Al, who you got?
Argentina.
Josh?
Argentina.
Daryl?
I've still got my reservations about Argentina not clicking, but Argentina.
Yeah, I think just for just overall power, I'm going to go with Argentina on that one. And now Argentina are on the board. Just a reminder that you're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show here on WRAR 97.3, and we're currently previewing Group B of this summer's World Cup in South Africa. We're using a highly scientific point system to determine what two teams will progress out of Group B. And right now, I believe we've got Greece leading with 2, Korea and Argentina tied with 1, and Nigeria still yet to get on the board. So I better step it up here with the defense. And really all I have to say about Nigeria's defense is that they've got Yobo.
Yeah, Joseph Yobo, who plays for Everton, I believe.
Who's not bad. And besides that, they're one of the few African teams that has a solid goalkeeper. They've got Vincent Nyama, however you pronounce it. And they've really never had a good goalkeeper before. Now they do, so that could definitely help them in this coming World Cup. Because I'm guessing they're going to get a lot of shots fired their way, especially with the attacking teams we just discussed. But let's move on to Greece, the historically defensive team. Daryl, what you got?
Yeah, when a lot of football fans think of Greece, they think of a very dour defensive team. But like I said, they've changed that approach for World Cup qualification, at least. Mm-hmm. But they still have a big, strong defense. They've got a goalkeeper, Kostas Chalkias, who's 6'6.5" tall.
That'll do it.
They've got the guy who plays for Liverpool. It's Sotirios Kyriakos, I think you pronounce it. Big ponytail.
Sure.
A big ponytail monster of a man. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
And they've also got a guy who I've never seen play, but his name's Lucas Vintra. And I've heard him described as error prone. So I'm thinking it's going to be like a Titus Bramble situation.
That's what you want to hear out of your defense. I will ask you, with a name like Pirate Ship, do you think that like lends itself to a more attacking mindset or a more defensive mindset?
It's more like a stealing gold kind of mindset.
Wow. Thanks, Daryl. Good answer. All right, Josh, what about Argentina's defense?
Argentina's defense, as opposed to their attack, it's probably the weaker part of their squad, mm-hmm. although they do have some standouts, like Inter Milan's player Javier Zanetti, who I personally love, mm-hmm. and was shocked when he didn't get invited to the World Cup last time. Looks to be back on track for the World Cup this time, which I think is a huge bonus. And then Javier Mascherano, their captain, the Liverpool player, mm-hmm. who Maradona came out and said it's Mascherano plus 10. Wow. So just knowing that.
Remember when we talked about how your coach was terrible?
Yes.
Nothing motivates players than when you're like, everyone else is terrible but this one guy. Let's go win, guys.
Particularly when you have the best player in the world on your team and he's not the one.
Wow.
Logic. Diego. There's just a lot of logic going on with Diego Maradona.
Are there any other defenders out there whose feelings are now hurt?
Gabriel Heinze, but his feelings might deserve to be hurt.
Yeah.
So, and then Colaccini, who is kind of, in my opinion, one of those error-prone backs too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he filled the Titus Bramble role at Newcastle perfectly.
Yeah. This seems to be a recurring theme here. So we're moving on to Korea. Does Korea have an error-prone defender, or are they pretty solid?
I would say, judging from their qualification record and what I know of them, they only let up 4 goals in the last 8 games of qualifying with 4 shutouts. And they, you know, holdovers from what happened in 2002 with Gus Hiddink as their coach. They're still organized. They're still fit, and they still fight for the ball, and mm-hmm. they defend as a unit. You know, names people may recognize. Lee Won-jae, I believe, is still their goalkeeper.
They might recognize them if they were pronounced.
If they were pronounced correctly, you'd have a better job of recognizing them. But he's a veteran of 2 World Cups. He was their starter in 2002, where he kind of gained fame for saving 3 penalty kicks in a shootout against Spain. And he was, I believe, picked for one of the best 11s of that tournament. And he's still there, so he provides a great deal of experience. And he's kind of their general in the back. And so I think, you know, just looking at their record, goals against and things like that, they're solid. And, you know.
Fair enough. All right, well, I'll start off the voting. I'm going to say Greece for the best defensive team. Albert, what about you?
I'll agree with Greece.
Josh?
South Korea.
South Korea?
Yeah, actually.
All right, Daryl, what about you?
I'd actually go Nigeria.
Wow. Crazy voting here, but...
Wait.
I think you got guys like Joseph Yobu, mm-hmm. decent defender. I know Taiwo, the left back.
Yeah.
He's got a great left foot on him.
You see, that's kind of the problem, is that he's got a great left foot on him, so he tries to get forward. And so that's kind of why I was a little hesitant to put him on there.
Oh, if you don't want my vote, I can change it.
Well, it doesn't matter, because Greece win.
Too late now.
Greece are now well on top, and we move on to best celebrity spokesperson. Josh, who you got over there?
I had a myriad of different people that I could pick from Argentina, politicians.
That's a great word, by the way. Thank you. Just SAT word for all you kids out there. Myriad. Go ahead.
Probably the best person is Eva Perón. She was a woman suffragist in Argentina.
Uh-huh.
And I just think she pushed ahead for a lot of, obviously, for women. And she was also big into the poverty movement and trying to help out the impoverished in Argentina. So
when I said we had scientific criteria, Josh clearly did not read the small
fine print.
Yeah, the fine print there where anyone who's been played by Madonna is immediately disqualified. So sorry there, Josh. Al, what about you?
I have Ban Ki-moon, who is currently the Secretary General of the UN, pretty powerful position. Well done there.
There you go.
Well, that's tough to argue.
Daryl?
I'm going to go with Socrates.
Ooh.
All right, so Socrates is not only the founder of Western philosophy and ethics, he was also Plato's teacher.
That's okay. Yes.
How good is that? We all know who Socrates is.
No, but I'm just laying out his credentials.
His resume, if you will. He's just...
He's both a soccer supporter and apparently he's going for a job interview. So that's good. All right, well, for Nigeria, I thought about Seal. He is of Nigerian descent. I thought about Hakeem Olajuwon, also of Nigerian descent.
Both good.
The dream.
I go for a curveball here. This is a man who starred in the Matrix movies, in the Lord of the Rings movies, and in V for Vendetta. Yeah, you're all stumped. It's Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving was born in Nigeria.
Wow.
Yeah, Agent Smith himself and V. So I think right there, he's played a lot of hardcore characters. I think he's just what Nigeria need, that strong presence. So I'm going with Hugo Weaving. Yeah. Speechless. Yeah. There we are. I'm going to count that as a win for me, but I guess we can still put it to a vote. I'm voting for Hugo. Albert, what about you?
I guess I'm voting for Socrates. I mean, how do you not?
Because Hugo Weaving is on the table. Josh?
Socrates.
Wow. Daryl?
I would have voted for Hakeem Olajuwon. I would.
All right, so I assume you're going to be Socrates as well?
Yeah, why not?
All right, fair enough. All right, wow, Greece, running just away with it. So we move on to just overall history. Josh, tell us about the overall history of Argentina.
They've won 2 World Cups. They've won 14 Cup of Americas. And they're one of two teams ever to win the 3 main FIFA tournaments. That is the World Cup, Confederations Cup, and the Olympics.
That'll do it.
Yes.
Not bad. Al, what about Korea?
They've done a good job coming out of Asia. They've qualified for 8 World Cups, 7 in a row. Their best finish was when they were hosted the tournament. They came in 4th, which is the best an Asian nation's ever done. And they've won 2 Asian Cups. So a pretty good history considering, you know, football in Asia is new.
Not bad. All right. What about Greece?
Yeah, Greece really isn't that impressive except for one golden year. So they didn't qualify for a major tournament until Euro 80. The first World Cup and only World Cup so far was World Cup 1994, where they lost all 3 games, conceding 10 goals and scoring exactly none. Then there was the glorious year when they won Euro 2004, which I think just underlines what an absolute upset that was.
Yeah.
Because then the next Euros, 2008, they again lost every game and finished bottom of the group.
Nice. It's a good history. It's a good solid history there.
Up and down.
Yeah, well, it's...
It's pretty down.
It's kind of just
pretty
one down.
Yeah, with a big spike in the
midst. Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, Nigeria played their first game in 1949, and yet they didn't qualify for a World Cup until 1994. Since then, they've qualified for 98, 2002, and now 2010. So that's not bad, but certainly not quite up to the pedigree of most of these. So let's put it to a vote here. Daryl, who are you voting for?
Well, not Greece this time. It's got to be Argentina, isn't it? 2 World Cup wins.
Yeah, I think so. Josh?
Argentina.
Al?
Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina clean sweep. And now we move on to the best national anthem. So we're going to play you, 10 to 15 second segments of the national anthems, and then we'll discuss. So we will start with Argentina's national anthem, Himno Nacional Argentino.
Very nice.
Thank you. And now the national anthem of Nigeria, Arise, O Compatriots. And the national anthem of South Korea, the Patriotic Song. Finally, the national anthem of Greece, Hymn to Liberty. All right, so there are 4 segments from the national anthems. I personally like Nigeria, although I did enjoy South Korea's, although I'm pretty sure it's been used in the ending to multiple action movies. That's really what I heard, was like the hero walking off into the sunset there.
That's not bad.
Well, I was going to say,
not bad, then.
The end of South Korea sounded like a triumphant song, but it was just a build up and nothing else.
So, I don't see the problem.
Nigeria had big drums. I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
The drums were fun, but I actually liked Greece's a lot too. I think I liked Greece the most.
Greece seemed like the only one you could dance to if you were so inclined, which maybe isn't a good thing for national anthems.
I thought one was supposed to stand at attention and think about how much they love their country.
Yeah, but maybe the Greek players would just do a little
yes,
dance.
Because when I think Greece, I think samba. That's what it is. All right, I think enough of that. Let's put this one to a vote. I'm taking Nigeria. What about you?
I'm going to go with Nigeria as well.
Greece.
I'm going to go Nigeria just to avoid a tie.
Yeah, just because you know that wow. The dictator's going to award to Nigeria. Anyway, Nigeria's on the board. Woo! All right.
Taking the easy way out, Daryl.
Finally, last but certainly not least, the best player. Daryl, who is Greece's best player of all time?
Best ever player is actually one of the current players. In my opinion, it's Georgios Karagounis, who's the number 10, the playmaker, who I was talking about earlier. He's sort of coming towards the end of his career now. He's 33. But he's the Greek player who's played for the biggest teams. He's played for Inter in Italy. He's played for Benfica in Portugal.
Albert, what about you? Who's Korea's best player of all time?
Well, I think a lot of people would make an argument for Ji-Sung Park.
Yep.
But I'm going to go a different direction, and I'm going to say Hung Myung-bo, who played on four consecutive World Cup squads, and he was the captain of the 2002 team that finished in fourth place. He's a strong center back. And yeah, he was the winner of the 2002 Bronze Ball, which is basically given to the third best player in the tournament, which is the highest award ever won by an Asian player at the World Cup. So
not bad. All right, well, for Nigeria, it's JJ Okocha, a man so good they named him twice. As I said, Nigeria's played in three World Cups, and Okocha's played in all of them. He's made 75 appearances for the national team, and he's played for top clubs in Germany, France, and Turkey. On the flip side, he's also played in Qatar and in England for Bolton and Hull City, so there's that as well.
Thing about JJ Okocha, I'd say he's the player they need right now. They need an attacking midfielder right now. So if they could somehow make him younger.
A little HGH.
Yeah.
And get him back in the team, he'd be ideal.
But I think it all might be a moot point here, because who's Argentina's best player, Josh?
He's been mentioned before this show, so Diego Maradona, just one of the most unbelievable players you'll ever see. People argue whether he was best or not in the world, ever.
Yeah, can we just go universal sign, hands in the air, Diego Maradona?
Diego
Maradona wins that one, and Argentina takes the final point. If we go by the numbers here, Greece are advancing in first place with 4 points, and Argentina coming in second with third. Korea and Nigeria both getting 1 point. So right now, Greece, Argentina, not bad. I'm actually not really surprised by that one.
I like
how do we feel? Group, class?
Very sensible.
All right, fair enough. All right, so with that, congratulations to Argentina and Greece, since based on our logic, they're clearly going through. And with that, we come to the end of the show. So say goodbye, Albert.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Daryl.
Goodbye.
All right, and goodbye from me. We'll talk to y'all next week.